We left off in the middle of the Sugya of Esrog, on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. So we're up to Esrog Shel Orla. I spoke briefly last time about the Tosfos as to why don't we just say by Orla because it's a mitzvah strefa. Why don't you say Michtas Kateshiura? Why do you need to have the whole discussion that the Gemara has? And Tosfos says, ultimately, you don't. Maybe in Tosfos, what was most surprising in Tosfos, what I observed, is that Tosfos makes it sound like the mitzvah of burning Orla, like it sounds like it's Doraisa. I thought it was Pashut, it was Doraisa, but Tosfos didn't think it was so Pashut, but Gigs it is. And then he suggests the only reason why the Gemara has the discussion here at Orla is not because it needed the reason by Orla that it's Usur, that it's not Mamon, and that it's no, has no Hetar Achila. It was really just a springboard for relating this to the Meiser Sheni question. So anyway, the Gemara begins with my time, Michelle Orla, Pasul. My time, a pligi beruchia bar abin berrasi. Chad amr lafisha imba heter achila, chad amr lafisha imba din mama. So one is because one shita holds that, it's because there's no heter achila, because you're not allowed to eat orla. And the other shita says it has no din mamon. Rashi explains that imbo din mamon sheino shava pruta disura nahu hilkach lav shalachem hu, which is a very interesting comment because it's presumably on some level a rebuttable presumption. There are people who will buy isuri hana. In other words, you could sell it. You're not allowed to, but if you sell it to a guy, guy doesn't care. So, in other words, is Rashi's statement that it doesn't give you a statement of market value? And I'll tell you why the issue is important, whether it's an axiomatic statement or it's a market value statement. In other words, it could be, in a Jewish context, it's very hard to find a buyer for Orla. Right? In other words, it could be that it really isn't worth a pruta. But the test case really would be Isuri Hanah de Rabbanon. So, it could be, if it's an intrinsic issue, then Isur Hanah de Rabbanon should in fact be, you wouldn't say, you know, as if you could find, given that you could probably sell it, if you want to say that the argument is that by definition though, it's worth nothing because it's usur to sell, then Isur Hanah de Rabbanon might not fall into that category. If it's actually just a market reality, it's very hard to sell it, then you might argue Isur Hanah de Rabbanon the same Isur Hanah de Raisa. This is a very relevant issue in the discussion of Kiddushin. The halacha is that if you're Mekadesh and Isha of Yisur Hanah, she's not Mekudeshin. It's the Mishnah near the end of the second parak in Kiddushin. And there is a Gemara that Mekadesh b'chametz b'sheisha'os, even b'chitei d'kord na'yasa, it's a Gemara b'sacha mitavav, d'avzayin, that a woman is not Mekudeshes. And the question is, it's Yisur Hanah b'sheos d'rabbanon, Yisur d'rabbanon b'sheos d'rabbanon. So the question is, how is she not Mekudeshes? So Rashi there writes that they used Hafkas Kiddushin. The Gemara doesn't say this, but Rashi says that. That's a question. If you're Mekadesh b'Yisur Hanah d'rabbanon, in order to say that they're not Mekudeshes, do you have to say that it's through Hafkas Kiddushin, a special din, you know, whether we spoke about Hafkas Kiddushin earlier in the year, or do you say no, that if it's Asar Hanah, even with d'rabbanon, it means it's not worth anything. Anyway, So Orla is Asur Bachila and it doesn't have a Din Mamon. So the question is, which is the deciding factors? I would just point out, before reading the Shach and Tari of the Gemara, if the Gemara is going to change the Machlokas Amarim and say, no, it's not what you think it is, based upon a question. But I just want to point out that when you read the Mishnah, why is it that Truma Tmeya is no good for Esrog? That's the part of the Gemara's Raya. Does Truma Tmeya, is it Mutar Bachila?
No.
Is it have a Din Mamon?
Yes,
that's what the Gemara says. The Kohen can be Masiko Tachas Tavshila. So what's interesting is, so if in fact the reason for the Mishnah is only a function of the din of that Orla is Asur Bachila, then if you look at the language of the Mishnah, Shel Orla Pasul, Shel Truma Tmeya Pasul. And the question is, why does the Mishnah have to create two clauses? Why isn't it Shel Orla Shel Truma Tmeya Psulim or something like that? Right, lula esrog hagazol vayavish pasul shalasher shnei dachas pasul. Why is Orla separated from truma tmeya? That would provide support either lahavamino or the maskana of the gemara for the shita that argues that there's a psul, but part of the issue by Orla is that it doesn't have a din mamon. That would explain why the Mishnah separated out into two clauses. Otherwise, pasul pasul lamali. It's a kind of question, by the way, that the Bavli will occasionally ask. In this case, they don't. So the gemara says the following: kasal kadaitai. That it's either, in other words, the psul is based upon one, and if you don't have that one, it's pasul, but if you don't have the other, it's perfectly fine. So Now the Gemara says, Tanan shel Trumat Meya is Psula. So, Bishlam alaman damer lefi shein ba heter achila shafir. I understand. The reason why you can't use an esrog of Trumat Meya is because you can't eat it. El alaman damer lefi shein ba din mamon, and you don't care about heter achila mai, hari masika tachas tavshilo. Rashi quotes a makar, titein lo here, velola oro, mechlal, debas orohu. I didn't look it up, but I recall that there's a different makar the Gemara has, that the Kohen has trumator and trumatmea, vanihin erasate lecha es meshmeres terumosai. Achas truma tahorav, achas truma temea. So I don't know, that's a drasha, I didn't make it up. I'm not sure in what context the Gemara in Shabbos has that drasha. So the Gemara says, anyway, whatever the makar is, a Kohen is allowed to be nene from truma, which is Temea. Provided there's a Gemara, I think in Shabbos, so at the end of the first Perek Masechta, actually, wine, which is Temea, I think he has to burn, get rid of. And the reason, what would you do with wine that was Temea? It's not really good fuel, but wine you would use, make ziluf. Ziluf is air freshener. You'd sprinkle it. It's double duty. Why mezalef liquids? Why do you sprinkle liquids on the floor? Why would they sprinkle liquids on the floor?
To clean it.
What?
To clean it. It was dirt.
Exactly. Why would you sprinkle liquids on the floor?
So plants don't grow in your house?
No, liquids would help plants grow.
Like wine.
You're trying to keep, you never know, plants drunk could be very interesting. No, it's to keep the dust down. Yeah, you ever spend time in camp? You spend time in camp. You ever notice what your shoes look like after a day or two in camp? You've been there? Dust, I look at my Crocs, there's dust all over them. Right? That's what happens when you live in a place. So the bunks have floors. Yeah, and most of the rooms have floors, but the outside doesn't. Imagine in a world in which, well, the house floors, they weren't made of wood. They were dirt. They have dirt packed down. So you sprinkle your mezalef, because otherwise it gets very dusty and it's very uncomfortable. So you sprinkle it, but if you use wine to sprinkle it, so it's like air freshener. It's air freshener. So anyway, so Yayin, the Gemara Masechta, says true, you can't do zilif with truma tmeya because you don't use it in large quantities at one time, and if you leave it around, we're afraid of takala, someone's going to come to drink it. What's the punishment, by the way, for drinking wine that's tmeya? The truma tmeya? A Kohen who drinks truma tmeya?
Malkus.
Maybe. Might only be an asay. There's no misa b'dei shamayim. A zar who eats truma, or a Kohen who's tamei tumas agufen eats truma, is chai misa b'dei shamayim. And either of those who eats tevel. Anyone who eats tevel is chai misa b'dei shamayim. If it's tevel a truma, or tevel a trumas maisa. But a tamei, a person who's tahor who eats truma tmeya, it's only probably an iser asay. There's an interesting question: what happens if he's tamei and the truma is tmeya? Now that's a whole discussion in the sugya of Eishah Halisir, because of course, if you say that someone who's tamei who eats something that's tamei is in fact nachai misa b'dei shamayim, then how is anybody ever chai misa b'dei shamayim? Because when you're tamei and you pick up the food to eat it, you metame the food. And now you're eating truma tmeya. Of course, there are a couple of answers around it. One possibility is someone is tochei begrono. Someone takes the piece of truma, sticks it on a skewer, you open up your mouth and they stick it into your throat. So that's one way. Alternatively, it could be a food that wasn't mokshar lekadal truma. Right? In other words, I don't know what you would have. It's kind of hard to find. I don't think you can. You can find truma deraisa, which is not mokshar. If you have wheat, which was ground into flour, and then it was baked with fruit juice, so it wasn't mokshar lekabel tuma. And you need water, one of the shiva mashkim, fruit juice is not one of them. So now you have because you can't eat wheat raw, flour raw. It's not chayv and truma at that point anyway. Certainly not wheat. And oil and olive oil and maybe grapes. Grapes and olives, if they are chayv and atar, that's a suffix. The Ramban in, I think, Parshas Korach is mesupak, whether or not truma daraisa. We say it applies to dagan, to yoshvi yitzar, but does it apply to grapes and olives, or only to tirosh and yitzar, which are the finished products? In the same way that dagan is the finished product. And since, you know, I like the bata sometimes, especially during bikkias, I'll point out to you something very interesting, a point that was, I think, totally missed by the linguists. I looked, the dictionaries missed it, and it's absolutely clear to me they absolutely missed the obvious, which is, what does the word dagan mean? You say grain, but what does Dagon refer to?
Fish?
No. No, that's Dagon. I don't know. I'm not sure it's related at all. No, actually not. The root. It could be that the root is ultimately related to that. It came from that. But what is the verb, Dalet Gimel Nun, mean, which you won't find in Tanakh, unless Dagar in... the answer is yes. There is a word Korei Dagar Velo Yalad Osa Osha Velo Mishpat Yirmiyahu. I'm not sure what the word means there, but there's a Gemara in Brachos and in Shabbos and in Erev. Every time the Gemara says, you know, gives the list of things that you can or can't eat in terms of Berachas Hamazon, you know, that you can use for an Erev and so on. It gives you Maser Rishon Shnei Latrumaso, Maser Sheni Vehekdei Sheniftu, you know, all these things that it gives you. And the Gemara explains what each one refers to. So they talk about the following din. If a Kohen has not, if Truma has not yet been separated from the pile, and a lady comes to you and says, could you give me my Sarishan already? Just separate it already. So if you're not supposed to, but if you separate, you're not supposed to separate my Sarishan before you separate Truma. But if you separate my Sarishan before you separate Truma, the din is Chal. Did we learn about the Sugya earlier this year about Komo Sodam Rahman Alo Sabadi Dab Mahani Evad Lamahani? Was that elsewhere?
It came up when
John Bakalachaman. Okay. So, Komosa, in that sugya, this is one of the classic cases that even though the Torah says not to do it, Malayascha vidim acha, lo sacher, and parashas mishpatim, you're not supposed to be Mishana, the Seder of Trumas and Maisos, nonetheless it's chal. So, if you mafresh Maisa Rishon, it's chal. But the catch is, if you mafresh Maisa Rishon first, the Kohen's chelik and Truma Gedola is Nismayit, in theory. So, the question is, there is no chiyuv in a specific amount of Truma Gedola, but since Truma Gedola wasn't separated from the grain yet, is the levy obligated to first separate something for Truma Gedola and then give Trumas Meiser, or is he only have to give Trumas Meiser? So the Gemara draws the following distinction. It says, it draws the distinction between Kidmo Bashibalim and Kidmo Bakri. If the levy beat the Kohen out when the grain was still in sheaves, it was Bashibalim, it hadn't been processed yet and turned into a pile of kernels, it hadn't been threshed, winnowed, and so on, then the levy only has to separate Trumas Meiser. But if it was Menakri, the grain had already been processed and piled up, and then the levy, then you separate Meiser Rishon, the levy has to separate Truma from that first. The Gemara asks why. Why the difference? I think Rapapa asks Abaye, and Abaye says, Hai Idgan, Aleph Yud Dalet Gimel Nun, and Hai Lo Idgan. If you know Bavli Aramaic, that Yud tells you typically that a letter drop. Hai Isdagan, it's a tuff that dropped, and Hai Lo Isdagan. What does Isdagan mean? So you say it literally means turned into Dagan, but it means it was made into a pile. There is a word that you saw last week if you read the Targum on Gal Eid. You know what Gal Eid is? You know what a Gal is? Not the name Gal Eid. You know what a Gal is in Aramaic? That's the biblical Aramaic one that we have. But what's the unclus Aramaic word for Gal? Digora. Dalet Gimel Resh. Resh and Nun and Lamed are all liquid consonants. It is absolutely categorically clear to me. Hai Idgan, V'haylo Idgan means this was piled up, meaning was Nigmar Malachto, V'haylo Idgan. It's clear to me that Dagon, the pshat in the word, means grain that was piled up, which makes perfect sense when you consider it with Tirosh and Yitzar. Tirosh and Yitzar are not the raw produce from the ground. It's the processed produce. Tirosh is wine and Yitzar is oil. I mention this because the Ramban has a Havamina in his Perush. I mean, an Avi. He's a possibility that grapes and olives are not chayim minator and trumas amaisos. Most Rishonim say dagan tirosh v'yitzar, but what does that mean? So most Rishonim say grain, grapes, wine, olives, you know, olive oil. The Ramban is a suffix. Maybe the grapes and the olives are not, because tirosh and yitzar are only the finished product, and that would be what dagan is as well. But anyway, that's what I believe the word dagan means. Dagan is, I think, cognate with the Aramaic dagar, which means a pile. Okay? Do you like that, Yair?
I don't know anything about Aramaic.
You're a Jewish studies major. I have to know about our man.
Targum.
Okay, fine. Anyway, so what winding route did I force my way there? I was trying to explain something here, which was by Truma Tamea. That's how we got to it. So anyway, so now I know I got to it. Truma Tamea, you could be Tamei, eat Truma, which is Tahora, and not be Metamei because it wasn't Mosher Lekabel Tuma. And how could you do that? Either again, someone sticks it. It's not moshel kabbalah, or someone sticks it in your mouth. Okay. Anyway,
Fine. So the Gemara says, so what is the man, the Amar, who says, Embo het Embo din mamon, why then is an Esra go truma tmeya no good? So the Gemara says, Ella, the man, the Amar, lefi shembo din mamon, Ella, beheter achilu kolam el pligi de beinan. Everybody agrees it has to be permissible to eat the Esra. Ki pligi, bid din mamon. Mar sabar heter achila beinan, din mamon lo beinan, mar sabar din mamon, nami beinan. My benayu, so what's an afgamina? Right, the din is the same. Esrog shel truma t'man or los no good. So who cares? It's what are we briskers here? Formulae chakiris with no nafkaminas. So the Gemara says, "My benayhu, ika benayhu, master sheni birushalayim alibed Rameir." Rami Meir in the machlokas, Rami Meir and Rabbi Huda, Rami Meir in the Chachamim in the Mishnah in Kiddushin. I think it's in Mishnah. It's sugyas in Kiddushin. I think it's implicit in the Mishnah there. Whether or not master sheni is mamon hedyot or mamon gavoa, the nafkaminas can you be mekadosh and isha with your master sheni money? So Rav Meir says it's mamon gavoa, you can't be mekadesh and isha. So according to Rabbi Meir, if you require that the esrog be only be edible, so ma'aser sheni Yerushalayim, you could eat even according to Rabbi Meir. Obviously, that's what it's for. But if you require that the esrog has a din mamon, so according to Rabbi Meir, it's mamon gavoa. It's not yours. It's not. Obviously, it's not a violation of the typical shalachim. It's not that it belongs to another person, but the whole point is it's your property, the master sheni. If someone eats your master sheni, I imagine that they are liable for theft. They have to chayiv and nezek. But that's an interesting question, and maybe I don't think the sugya talks about it. Are they chayiv only because of dina de garme, or are they actually chayiv? I assume they're chayiv if they steal your master sheni. So we say mamon hei mamon gavoa. It means, is it yours because it's yours, or is it yours because God lets you eat from His shulchan and lets you specifically eat this? So again, nafkamina is in the Gemara gives us kiddushin. So if you hold according to Rav Meir that ma'aser that you need, it has to have a din mamon. So ma'aser sheni doesn't have this din mamon in order to be able to use it as an esrog. So now the Gemara says, thinking about what we were talking about on Thursday here, tistayim drabasi da amar lafisha ba din mamon. Right? Can we identify? Rabbi Asi being the one who says that the reason why an esrog shel arla is possible because it doesn't have din mamon, meaning it has to have both a heter achila and a din mamon. The Amar Rav Asi esrog shel maaser sheni. The divra meir ein ad miyotze bo yidei chavasa biyom tov. The divra chachamim ad miyotze yidei chavasa biyom tov. The answer is tistayim. Yes, that's pretty good proof. Right? I mean, you expect that. The Gemara just said the nafkamina is X, and Rav Asi says that's a machlokas from meir and the chachamim. So that makes sense. Rav Asi is the one who holds that esrog requires din mamon as well, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, maaser sheni biyushalayim is no good. Gufa, Amar Vasi, esrog shel maaser sheni, the divrei Meir, ein ad miyotzei yidei chavasa biyom tov, the divrei chachamim ad miyotzei yidei chavasa biyom tov. That we saw already. Matzah shel maaser sheni, the divrei Meir, ein ad miyotzei yidei chavasa bapesach, the divrei chachamim ad miyotzei yidei chavasa bapesach. This is the one that's going to give the Gemara fits. Isa shel maaser sheni, the divrei Meir, p'tur min achala, the divrei chachamim chayeves v'chala. Maskev l'rapapa b'shlama, isa k'tziv reishis arisa oseichem. And according to Rav Meir, it's not yours, it's mamon gavoa. Esrog na miksiv lochem, mishel lochem. Ela, matza miksiv matzaschem. Where would be the notion, there be a notion that it has to have a din mamon, that matza has to have a din mamon? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Rashul, mitem rabim rabba shalemia, astya lechem miat lechem. It's a gzereshav. Ksiv hocha lechem or miksiv hosam, poya bachochem I lechem aorets. Ma lahala mishel lochem. Velo mishel maser, afkan mishel lochem, velo mishel maser. So just as by challah, just as by challah, it has to be yours and not maser sheni, meaning according to Rav Meir, so too by matzah, it has to be yours, meaning it can't be shel maser, it can't be mamon that's not yours. Okay. Tosos has a fascinating, fascinating observation here. The Gemara, if matzah in fact has to be shelachem, so Tosos asks Akasha, the Gemara in Psachim needs a special limud to tell you that tevel you can't use for matzah. You can't use tevel for matzah. Later in this Gemara, the Gemara is going to show that tevel, it doesn't actually say it about tevel, but it talks about demai. And Beis Hillel says that you can be yotzei with demai. But why can't be yotzei with demai? So the Gemara says because it's roi to be roi for an ani. The Gemara says something slightly different. Tosha says the Gemara could have just said because an ani can eat it, it's roi lachila.
And therefore, you can be yotze be'esrog shel demai. So, Tosa says, but it's mashraf the Gemara, you can't be yotze with an esrog shel tevel. Why? You can't be yotze with an esrog shel tevel because an ani can't eat it. So Tosa says, so why is it that it's no good by Tevel? So Tosis assumes, not because it has no heter achila. Why not? Because Tevel, in effect, I assume Tosis doesn't spell this out. Tevel does have a heter achila. Tevel does have a heter achila. Why? Because you can separate Shumas and Maisus from it and eat it. So Tosis says it must be that the reason why Tevel is no good to use as an esrog is because it's an esrog which is not your all yours. You know why it's not all yours? Because a Kohen has a chelek in it, and a lady has a chelek in it, and an ani might have a chelek in it, and therefore it's not lachem. It's not shalachem. So Tosa says, if that's the case, why do you need a special pasuk by matzah? If there's a din of matzas chem through Gzeir Shava, why do you need a pasuk? So Tosa says something fascinating. Tosa claims, Tosa is really claiming that the Gemara here is engaged in sleight of hand in putting these three things together. In other words, we say you need shalachem by all three, but it's not exactly true. By an esrog, what portion of the esrog has to be yours?
All of it.
All of it. So Tosa says it's not true. It's not true by matzah or by challah. There, Tosa says, and what was the third matzah and challah. Why? Tosa says there, all you need to do by matzah is to have enough matzah there where after you separate Shumas and Maisus, you'd have a Kedayis to be Yotze. That's why the Gemara needs a special pasuk to tell you that Tevel is no good by Matzah, because otherwise, if you had a sufficient quantity, you'd be Yotze. And he claims, similarly by Challah, this is really where the proof is from, that you can, you are Mechuyev to separate, and you can separate Challah from an Isa, which is still Tevel. Let's say somebody didn't bother to separate Shumas and Maisus from the grain. And you processed it, well, that's when you're supposed to separate it after you process it. And now, you make it into a dough. So the halacha is you can separate at the same time, you can separate the truma and the challah at the same time. The question is, how can you separate challah before you separate the truma? It's not all yours, it's shel shutfin. So Tosa says, as long as after you would separate the truma and truma's meiser, there would be a shear which is chayav in challah, chameshes revoim of kemach, then, even though the challah is a challah shel shutfin, you're mechuyev and you can be mafresh. Why? Because it is lachem. It is shalachem. You have enough in there which actually will be yours. So that means, though, according to Tosas, that the din by matzah and challah of needing lachem, you don't need the whole thing to be lachem. You just need enough of it to be yotze the mitzvah, enough of it to be chayev and ashir. By esrog, you need the entire thing to be yours. In the case of ma'aser sheni, it's not an issue by all three things, because how much of the ma'aser sheni is your mamon, according to Rabbi Meir? None. It doesn't matter. All the mitzvahs are going to be disqualified, would be disqualified on this grounds. But in principle, matzah shel tevel, you would be able to be yotze with, if not for the special gezer sakasim, because as long as you have a kesayis beyond which you have that which you have to give to your shutfim, and it, so then you would be able to be yotze. But by ma'aser sheni, the whole entire thing is not yours, and therefore you can't be yotze matzah. There's no chiyuv of separating challah. Okay. Yes, Morty.
According to Rabasi, the Mishnah is telling us that etrog is paso etrog shel or less paso because it's not your mamon.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it talks about maser sheni birushalayim, it doesn't tell us at all that there's an opinion that it would be paso.
Well, they don't quote Rabbi Meir's opinion here. The Gemara is going to say later, if you got there, the Gemara is going to, when it gets to the Maaser Sheni part, is going to say, according to one man, the Amar, it's Lechulei Alma, and the other man, the Amar, it's only the Rabbanon. Right? It's not, in this case, I could get away either way, because Stam Mishnah is often Rabbi Meir, so it doesn't mean every Stam Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, but a Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, if I had a Stam Mishnah which followed Rabbi's opinion, I'd be okay with that. And if I have a Mishnah follows Chabad's opinion, I'm okay with that in this case. He's the one Tana that you have it's easier to say that.
Also, why should there be a Machlokes here at all about whether it's achila versus mamon? And if everybody agrees that it's possible because of achila, then shouldn't it just be?
It is, but there's another din. Hold on, you could have said the Mishnah could have just told you true. Truma tmeis is a psula or pasul. and that would have been enough to teach you that then it doesn't have heta achila. The reason, I think whoever of Asi would argue, the reason why Mishnah separates the two babas, and the reason it has orla, is precisely to teach you that there's another thing that you wouldn't know from Shulma Tamea that you get to know from orla, namely the fact, Embo Din Mamo. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Lema misayele, Isa Shamaser Shani, Petur Menachala, Diver Mera, Chacham Omrim, Chayeves Bachala. Lema misayele, he. That, what do you mean? Lema misayele is normally followed by, no, it's not a proof. Right? But at least it has to allow the possibility that maybe it is a proof, maybe it isn't a proof. Right? If I say Morty is strong. Okay? And Tanya, Lema misayele, the Bryce says Morty is strong. It's like, not Lema misayele, that's exactly what it says. So the Gemara says, no. The fact that you at least know they argue by Meiser Sheni, can you also assume they also argue by Chala? So the Gemara says, Odoma, Shani Isa da Amarko Ariso Sechem, Ariso Sechem, Trezimne, Omrebi Mamata. In other words, do they argue by, By matzah and matzah sheni. In other words, maybe it's a din that's unique to challah. So that's the Gemara leaves it as maybe it's not a proof. Shel truma tmei psula delas behetar achila. Shel truma torah lo yito pligi ravami rabiyasi. They were in full fledged wrestling, Greco Roman wrestling in the Mishnah on multiple issues of esrog. So charamar meishem achshira vcharamar meishem asida. One said because the practice was, as we see in the Mishnah later in the parak. I think it might be the next Mishnah even, that you're allowed to put a lulav back in water on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, you're allowed to add water, and on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to be machlif. No, it's not the next Mishnah, it's later in the parak. It's Mekabelas Isha Miyad Bala Umiyad Bina. Where's that Mishnah? Did I make up a Mishnah? I don't think so. Membezim and Aleph. So what's going to happen, we're afraid, is that you take an Esrog Shel Truma, and an Esrog Shel Truma normally is not Mokshar L'Kabel Tumah. Why? Because when water gets on it when it's on the tree, it's not Mokshar L'Kabel Tumah. Water or one of the liquids being Mokshar something L'Kabel Tumah is only when it's detached from the ground. And then you have to put the water on the Ratzon, so people normally wouldn't put water on fruits of Truma, certainly not up until the moment they're ready to eat it. So here, it's going to come in contact with the Lulav, and that's a concern of being Mokshar, and we don't want to do that. That's why you shouldn't L'Chatchila use an Esrog Shel Truma. The other Ma'adamar says that Yemafsida, because what happens is as you esrog eventually rubs against the lulav, this happens if you keep it long enough, it starts to rub off the outside peel of the esrog, so it ruins that. So the outside membrane. So the Gemara says, Nainafkamina, my benayu, kigon shakara lashem chotzmi kli pasachitzona. If the person, when he was called designated, this esrog is truma, he said, the entire esrog is truma except for the outer layer, which is not. Then, it's still machshir, in other words, the food is moshe l'kabel tumah one way or the other. The fact that the outer layer is chulin and the inner layer is truma doesn't change the effect of the hechsher. But in terms of what you're being masid when it rubs against the lulav, that's only chulin and that's not a problem. Tosis points out what could have been, I think, a much more obvious nafgamina is, what if the esrog is moshe l'kabel tumah already? So if the concern is hechsher, it's not a concern. If the concern is hesed, it is a concern.
Okay.
Fine. Then the Gemara says, "V'imnat al ksheira." But if you take an esrog shel truma tahora, it's good. Why? Leman damar b'nei shem b'heter achila harayish b'heter achila. Leman damar l'fi shem b'din mamon harayish b'din mamon. Right. V'shel demai, my time in the Beis Hillel, kevan di b'maker l'michse v'hava ani b'chazulei hashanami lachem krina day. Since in theory you could be maker in a chasim, and you be an ani, and an ani is allowed to eat demai. The chacham demai, we spoke about demai already. We spoke about it last time. So an ani is allowed to eat demai. You're allowed to feed an aksanya demai, a guest demai. He's like an ani, and therefore it's roi l'achila. Tosis points out here the Gemara didn't actually have to say this line. Di by mafkil l'nichsei. The reason why it uses it is because the sugya is parallel to a sugya in eruvin, and the din is that when you make an eruv tchumin, the stuff you use has to be roi for achila. So there the Mishnah says the same thing, and it's the same machlokes. The Mishnah says, Ma'arvin b'denai.
And the Gemara explains that Iboy Mafia Lenichse. So Tosha says, even there the Gemara didn't need it. As long as it's Roy for someone to eat, it's good as an Erev Tchumen. Why did the Gemara need to say that line? Because there is one Deah that says, can you use Truma? Truma Tahora for Yisrael? And the Mishnah says, yes. Even though the Yisrael himself can't eat it because a Kohen can eat it, therefore you can use it as an Erev Tchumen, which means that you can use the Mai also, not because you could become an Ani if you wanted, but because an Ani can eat it. But there is one Deah in the Mishnah, Sumchus, Rabbi Meir's Talmud, Simachus, who held that you cannot be Ma'arev Yisrael for Yisrael B'Truma. And this has to be Roy for the person doing it. According to Sumchus, you need to be able to say, you know, that he, the person relying upon the Erev Tchumen, is actually able to consume it. And that's where that line came from. Just as a side, Bikias, what is probably Sumchus' most famous Shita in Shas? It's in Bava Kamma. It probably comes from Eltzor also. In Dine Mamas, the most famous sheet in Shas for sure. Mamon Hamuta Basafek, Chalkin. That's Sumchus Shita. It's all over the place in chunks of Baba Kama. So you should be aware of that. You know, Sumchus is the Greek name Simachus. Okay. Anyway, so that's what Tosus says here. Tosus Diba Maskul, Diba Mafka Linichse. Okay. The Amar Ahuna. I'm sorry. The Tran, Machil and Sadin, the Mai Vesachsanya, the Mai. Ube Shamai. One second. Yes, and Beis Shammai who are postlim, ani lo achil demai, and ani is not allowed to eat demai. Ditznan machilan aniim demai vesachsanya demai achsanan demai. The Amar Rav Huna tana Beis Shammai omer e machil mesaniim vesachsanan demai. Or Beis Shammai omer machil mesaniim demai vesachsanya demai. Tosis just wondered why does Huna bother to add to the Mishnah, that Beis Shammai Shita. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. So Tosus observes that sometimes the Gemara, the Amarav Makbid, present the Tana there. Why? So that in case you hear of a Stam Breisa that says that you can't feed Dani and Demai, you'll know, oh, that's Beis Shammai Shita. The basis of this is actually a Mishnah in Adios. The Mishnah in Adios, which the Pashtus is the first Masechta that was redacted, and long before Rabbi Huda Nasi. So the Mishnah Adios in the first parak asks a very basic question. Why does the Mishnah preserve minority opinions if you don't paskin that way? So there seems to be two suggestions offered, which don't have to be mutually exclusive. The anonymous suggestion is, v'lama maskir istivrei yachar bein ha-marubim levatlan, which is, she'im yirah beizdin, yirah beizdin divrei yachar v'yismal halav. It's a machlokas how to understand what the Mishnah means, but it sounds like it has something to do with what if Beis Din adopted a minority position, the fact that it's valid in one context or another, for whatever purposes. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, Shem Yomar Ploni, Shem Yomar Lecha Adam Ploni, this Shita, Yomulo, Kedivrei Ploni Shamata. In other words, what you heard, well, yes, you want to know that opinion? Yeah, that's the rejected opinion. So the reason why the Mishnah records minority opinions, they're rejected, is because someone comes forward and said, I heard such and such an opinion, I have a tradition, they'll say, yes, that is Kedivrei Ploni Shamata, but that's a rejected opinion. Whereas if you don't preserve the minority opinion, all of a sudden you start to say, wait, did we get the tradition wrong? We're saying, Tar, he has a tradition that says it's Tamei, but if we know there's a Machlokas, then we know his Tamei was following the minority opinion that we rejected. And not that there's an error in our tradition. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Shamaser sheni biyushalayim. Why are you not allowed to use it lachachila? The mandam eshem machshira harim machshira. The mandam eshem asida harim asida. The same achlokas as you have by truma. We are concerned about the unnecessary defilement or degrading of meister sheni. Meister sheni has kedusha. What's the kedusha of meister sheni? Besides that, it has to be in yushalayim. It has to be tahar." You have to be Torah. There's no Misa B'Shamayim if you're Tamei eat it. There's Malkus probably. And one other thing about Ma'aser Sheni's Kedusha. One other restriction is there by Ma'aser Sheni. Tuma, Yerushalayim, and Onim is not allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni. You can't eat Ma'aser Sheni or Kachem. He is allowed to eat Truma and Chala, which is a kind of Truma, Truma's Ma'aser, and so on, Bikurim. Bikurim's Machlokas. Whether it's like Truma or it's like Kachem too. Anyway, fine. Then v'imnat al ksheira l'manda amar meisha ein b'hetar achila devrayakol l'manda amar lafisha ein b'din mamon hamani rabbanon hi. That's how you have to read the Mishnah. Fine.
Also chazazes. Vases are chazazes. A chazaz is like some type of growth. I don't know if it's mold or something like that that starts growing on the esrog. So Amar Chista, Davar Zer Rabbeinu Hagadol Amaro, Hamakom Yeh Be'ezro. It's a very strange expression and occurs one other place. We saw it a few blot ago. And both times the same things happens. You know, it's Rav Chista, I believe, who says that Rabbeinu Hagadol uttered this statement and God should, you know, Hamakom Yeh Be'ezro is like, again, Natarachmanu Parke. May God bless and protect him. And both times it's wrong. In other words, it's backwards. Hamakom Be'ezro, Lo Shanu Ala B'makom Echad, Abu B'shnayim Mishlosh Makom Es Kosher. Only if a chazazes appears al rubo b'makom echad, is it possible? But if it's rov, but it's split up into different places, so then it's not posel. So Amar Rava Adraba b'shnayim shloshim makomos hava lekemenumar uposel. It's like a leopard spots. In other words, it's spotted. That's no good. It's not one mum. The whole thing is like a mum. Ela yitmar asefet mar. We stated on the sefer al miuto kosher. Amar Abchista, Davar Zer Rabbeinu Agad Almar, Mamakum Eve Ezro, Loshna Ela Bamakum Echad, Amir Bamakum Echad, Al Bishnaim, Shlosh, and Makamos, Havale Kemenumar Upasol. I think some of the Rishonim saying, I think we passed this way in Shulchan Aruch, that it's only Pasol if the Miut of Chazazis actually is distributed over a majority area of the Esro. I don't know exactly how you calculate that, and it's how do you join the individual spots that have the chazazes, you know, how do you draw your map, in effect? But that's what they say, that it has to be over a rove of the esrog. I imagine if you draw a circle around, like kind of, let's make our Erev Tchumen here, right? That we spoke on Erev Tchumen? Yes, we did. I've spoken about multiple contexts. I can never remember where I gave Sharon Shabbos at KJ that night. So if you draw a circle around your chazazes, right, in the most efficient way, if that circle then covers a majority of, or hexagon, you know, line to line of the outer points, if that covers a majority of the esrog, then that's pasul, even though the actual area of the chazazis is a miut. Whereas if it occurs in one place, and it's al miut of shel esrog, by definition, if you draw a circle around it, it's only covering the miut of the esrog. Okay. So lo shel amok echad, abu shnayim shoshim makom eshav lekimru pasul. Amar Rava, bi'al chotmo v'afidu mashu nami pasul. He says, on chotmo, and this is why when you're looking at an esrog, you know, it's a shame that, you know, maybe next year, those of you who are still in the share, well, maybe, I don't know if I can do that. It might ruin my date with my long-standing date with my friend. And we've been doing this for 15-plus years of going down to the Lower East Side. But thank you, esrog picking, you know, on the Lower East Side. No trees, just merchants. And the place that you want cleanest on the esrog is the place closest to the pitim. Right? Most of the psulim anywhere are not psulim. The leaf marks are not a psul. That's revise, that's the normal growth. But if you're talking about some type of a fuzzy or something that's already in like mold or unusual bubbles or something, so the place you don't want that is as you get the sort of the upper part. I don't remember if the Shulchan Aruch gives the shear how much. Maybe Shlisha Ayon or something like that. But that's based upon this din of Rava. Chotma fi the Mashal and Pasal. That's a much bigger psul in Hadar. Okay. Nitla Pitmaso. Biggest problem in Esrogim. Some people think with a pitham is Mahuda. Okay. I usually pick the best esrog as I can find, and with or without a pitim. But there are advantages to not having a pitim. You can't break the pitim. Question is, what is the pitim, and when is it possible when it breaks? So here, the Gemara has the following comment. The Mishnah distinguished between pitmaso and ukso. Now, what is normally an oketz?
Stem.
It's the stem, which does what for the fruit?
Provides it with water and nutrients.
Well, it joins it to the tree, which then gets its nutrients and water that it gets. Fine. And the pitim is the thing on the other side. So the truth is, the way an esrog, I never understood that. The esrog is supposed to be, we spoke about this, no? It's picked up derach gedelaso. So I think an esrog grows, once it's grown, it grows with the pitim down. Because the weight of the esrog must drag it down. I've never seen an esrog on a tree. Has anybody seen an esrog on a tree? And paid attention. Okay.
So, someone suggested, I think last week, that it's talking about how it grows outward.
Outward. Okay, right, fine. So in other words, we don't care if it's... Right, that was what we said in Shir. We don't care the effects of gravity, but it grows out of the tree that way, fine. Beseder. So the pitim is called, by Rashi, the head of the esrog. If you take a look at Rashi, who were Rashi's Rabban, by the way? Who were Rashi's Rabban?
For Yaakov Bar
Yakar? I think Yaakov Bar Yakar. But anyway, he had multiple Rabban, and there are a few places in Shas that he actually quotes them. I mean, he probably quotes... I gather probably there are tens of places throughout Shas where he mentions a name. There's one place that in particular in Beitza, in the third parak, on the bottom, I think,
Dalet Amud Aleph Rashi quotes a number of luminaries of early Ashkenaz, some of whom were Rabbeim. Here he quotes, I think, two people who probably would be considered amongst this Rabbeim. He says, "B'masnisa Tani Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Elazar Nitla Buchnasa." That's what he says in Nitla Maso. So, what's Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar saying? That Nitla Buchnasa. Is he explaining what the pitma is? What the pitma is? So Rashi writes the following: "B'masnisa Have Tani Lahai Nitla Pitmaso Buchnasa." Rashi says the first interpretation. Was that Pitmaso, is that Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar had a different nusach in the Mishnah. Tana, nitla, bulchnasa, instead of Pitmaso. Rashi explains, lefi shehu chad. What does chad mean? No. Sharp. Comes to a point. Lefi shehu chad, v'asa kamin buchnaze. I used to know buchna, that was like a thing you pound with or something like that. Maybe the pestle, I'm not sure. That's the lashon of my teacher, the elder Rabbeinu Yaakov. That's probably Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yakar. Aval Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi hayemafarish pitmaso v'ukso shneim bizanav ukso shenitala eitz mashachutz laguma sheva esrog kosher. Pitmaso shenitla she'oketz mitocha esrog v'chas v'chisra. In other words, they're not talking about the pitam. The pitam, breaking the pitam off, would seem to not passel it. It's both in the uketz, but it depends how the uketz gets broken off. If it breaks off, but the part that's in the flesh of the esrog is intact, then the esrog is not chaser. If the part that's in the esrog itself breaks off, then the esrog is chaser and it's passel. But neither one is talking about the pitam. And he explains, V'hainu d'tani v'mitzak bar alazar nitla buchnaso means masha nichnas betocha esrog ke buchna hanichnas umake ba'asisa. I think this is a mortar and a pestle, if I'm not mistaken. So if you think about it, I never remember which is what, and I know. I always got it wrong. I thought a mortar should be the thing that you bang with, but it's not. The pestle is the thing you bang with. So what does a mortar usually look like? It's a little bowl. So the pestle enters the bowl. So that's what the buchna means. The part that enters the esrog, if that part of that breaks off, it's pasul. So Rabbeinu Tam here, Tosfos quotes, has a whole discussion about this because he points to a Mishnah in Nida where they talk about simanim of puberty in a girl and they talk about the breasts and they talk about really the nipple and there are different terms that are used, oketz and pitma, and there's also a third term which is used there, chotem. So Tosfos suggests that in fact Rabbeinu Tam says no, the terms actually sometimes are used for the same thing. Okay, whatever Tosfos holds, but then he quotes another very interesting pshat, which is a third way of reading the Gemara, the Aruch quoting Rabbeinu Hanana, which is as follows. Where Yitzchak ben Elazar wasn't explaining the line in the Mishnah, he was adding something to the Mishnah. And as the Mishnah says, if the pitam breaks off, no good. If the oketz breaks off, the esrog is still good. And now Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar is coming along to say, but if the oketz breaks off, the buchna breaks off, if the oketz breaks off where it's into the esrog, then it's pasul. In other words, it's like Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi's pshat, except that, in other words, he accepts the din of Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, that by the oketz there are two dinim, depending how much broke off, but that's aside from the pitam. Pitam breaks off, no good. Within the oketz, there are two different dinim. The Mishnah spoke about oketz, the pitam, which is no good. It spoke about the oketz when it is good, and Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar is adding the buchna, that when the oketz breaks off in a way that it digs into the esrog, then that's also no good, just like the pitam breaking off. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Niklaf Amar Rava, Hai Esroga de Aglid, an esrog which was peeled, Ke Ahina Sumaka. So Rashi says, like a red date, he says that after you peel it, it turns a little bit red. I assume it means that it oxidizes. He says, like all fruits that are peeled. So the Mishnah says that it's chera. V'anantana nikla pasul. The Mishnah says nikla is pasul. Lokasha habachula habemiksasa. Rashi writes, if the entire thing is peeled, then it's kosher. But if you leave a little behind, he says it's pasul because it's benumer, because part of it is going to look yellow like an esrog, and part of it is going to look oxidized. Okay, I still have a bunch of esrogim at home. I have to go and experiment, I think, because we collect them. My wife makes esrog liqueur. If you are fortunate, none of you, well, some of you, are you old enough? You're an old boy. Of course, you're old enough. You're old enough, too.
Yes.
You're not old enough.
Not,
you're
probably not quite.
Not quite. No. It's okay. You're not yet, even yeah, you're in Mordia, you're not getting, but they shall send the Shalchmanas Esrog liqueur. So, anyway, so, but she collects the leftover Esrogim, so we have still have a bag of them, and she didn't use all of them. So, probably do some dissection experiments and peeling experiments and see what happens and so on. I did learn one thing, though. I didn't realize there were a bunch of Esrogim. I managed to salvage what I thought was the one, which was already partially peeled, and I put it in a plastic bag, and I closed the plastic bag, and that's a mistake. It only took a few days to start growing mold, because the moisture cannot evaporate. So don't. But I had noticed the other day, there's a whole bag of Esrogim, and it's not closed. Okay, so anyway, fine. And some Rishonim say the opposite, that Ha-Bechula is Psula, but Mektasa is in fact Sherit. Tosus quotes that, I think. Somebody quoted that. Yeah, Rabbeinu Hanano, Tosus, the second Tosus on the page. Okay. He thinks it has to do with whether or not it can, some, whether in Trefos the equivalent grows back. It's a question of whether you draw an analog to Trefos, which the Gemara is about to discuss. In a different topic. Nistach Nikev. Tani Ula Bar Chanina. Nikev Nekev Mefulash B'mashu V'sheinah Mefulash B'cha'isr. So the way Rashi reads the Gemara is that if an esrog has a hole and it's chaser, under any circumstances it's no good. But if you stick a needle in an esrog and you pull it out, it's, or even if you had a larger thing, and you pressed into the esrog, but you didn't remove any of the material, the esrog would still be shalem, but it would have a nekev. So the assumption is that a nekev is posel if it's chaser, no matter how big or small the nekev is. Then, if the nekev is like the size of an iser, did the Gemara say that here? Yeah, she'enim afulash b'cha iser, then it's posel. But for the nekev, and if the nekev goes all the way through, mafulash, which the simple reading is from one side of the esrog to the other, so then it is psula. The Beis Yosef quotes from Shammai Shonim who say no, it doesn't have to go all the way through the esrog, it can go all the way to the inner chamber, to where the seeds are in the esrog. If it makes it that far, then that's called mafulash. There is also a sheet that we showed him. I don't know. I didn't go back and look at the Beis Yosef. I'd learned the Beis Yosef. I don't know how they learned the Gemara. I think it's the Ravid. The Ravid claims that no, adraba. A nekev that's chaser, as long as the chisaron is less than a ki'isar, I think, it's kosher. Anyway, so I don't remember how the Ravid, I can't quite see how he reads the Gemara, but it's a different way of reading the Gemara than Rashi. Bai Rava, noldu be'esrog, simane trefa. The esrog is not going to live for 12 months. No, I'm kidding. An esrog has something similar to a trefa. What is the din mahu? My kami boy, the Gemara wants to know. I niklaf tanina. I nistak tanina. They're both simane trefa in certain circumstances. I nikev tanina. Right, there are many cases where you have a nekev, so where it's possible by trefos. Well, we know what the din by nekev is. The Mishnah spells it out. Ella, which is if you have a lung where the outer membrane is still intact, when you open the lung, like the lung is like liquefied, or some lobe is liquefied, so then it's kshera. As long as the what do you call the pipes that come in? What are the
The trachea?
No. But the bronchial. Yeah, there's big ones and small ones.
The bronchial.
So I think it's this case. I don't know if it's the bronchi or the bronchioles. As long as they're intact, even if it's like filled with liquid or something like that, and it seems that parts of the lung have liquefied, it's still kosher. But the halo kaimis simpana trefa. So hachamai, what's the din by esrog? If the inner part of the esrog, where the seeds are, or is liquefied. Dilma hasam hu delo shalat ba'avira hadar bari. Where it's not exposed to air, then it can heal. Aval hacha de shalat ba'avira, I don't know why, because the outer layer is intact. Aval hacha de shalat ba'avira seruche misracha se'urat, o dilma lo shalat, there's no din. So tashma, the Gemara says, esro tafuach, not tapuach, tafuach, which means swollen, saruach, rotting, kavush, pickled, shaluk, overcooked, kushi, dark, lavan, white, menumar, spotted, pusel. Esrog kador, pusel. If the esrog is round, I would say like a lemon, it's pusel. V'yesh omrim afatium, even if you have a Siamese esrog. Siamese twin esrog, I guess. esrog habose.
What do you mean by that?
It's like two esrogim kind of got stuck together when they grew. So I'll just take the whole thing. So some say a tium is pasul. Esrog haboser, if it's only reached the stage of boser, where it's tiny, Rashi says the fruit is like a white bean in size. Esrog haboser rebbe kiva posav hacham mashir. Gidlo b'defus v'am asokim in beri acheres pasul.
If when the esrog was starting to grow, you wrapped the shape around it, you tied it there, and when the esrog grew, it grew in the shape. So you have a square esrog or something like that, it's pasul. That's the shape of an esrog.
So, now what was the point of the Gemara? Katani mias, tafuach en saruach. My love, tafuach mi bachutz and saruach mi bifrim. The Gemara says, no, afal ga, lo idi vi idi mi bachutz. Velo kashe, ha de tafach afal gav lo sarach, ha de sarach afal gav lo tafach.
In other words, something can sort of puff up, and something can sort of just be rotting, and it can be both. So the point of the Bryce is it's not talking about an inner psoul. An inner psoul might be kosher, because it doesn't seem to spill into the outside. But the outer psoul could either be that it's sort of puffed up, or swollen, or that it actually has liquefied.
Okay. Amar mar, esro kushi is psoul. Vatanya kushi is kosher. The domela kushi psoul. Meaning if it's black, it's no good. If it's like a kushi, meaning it's darker, if it's black, it's kosher. If it only is domela kushi, so Rashi says the following. Rashi says domela kushi is that it grew here.
In other words, I don't think that's true, but in the land of Kush, do the esrogim grow black? Assuming you know what Kush is.
But apparently, if it grows there, it's okay. If it grows where it normally doesn't grow, but it grows that color, then it's possible. So, Amar ba'i ki tranami masnis in doma lakushi tran. When the Mishnah says it's possible, it's dafka doma lakushi, meaning it grew not in Kush, but it looks like one of the Zasrogim. And Rava Amar, lo kasha, halan vahalahu. No, depends where. If you are, in other words, a black esrog is only kosher if you're in Kush. If you're not in Kush, then it's possible. Why not? Why is it possible?
Okay.
That's what I would have said. Yeah. So the truth is, if that's the case, I don't see it in Rashi, but in a place where it's normal, then maybe it is Hadar. Esrog haboser, Rabbi Akiva posav hacham mashirin. Why would you say that it's possible? How would you define Rabbi Akiva Shita? Why would boser be no good as an esrog? What would you say on your own? Boser is possible for esrog because
this is not a sheer of esrog. Out of the Mishnah, right?
It's not a fruit. Yeah. For the purpose of esrog. It's pastri priya tzadar. That's what I would have said. So the Gemara says, if you look at the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shimon Amru Davar Echad. If you look at Rashi Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Da Gemara Bishule Lo Habe Esrog Pri. So this Rabbi Akiva, in our case, Rabbi Shimon said the same thing. So Rabbi Akiva is Hadamarin that we just read. And Rabbi Shimon Mahi, the Tanan, Rabbi Shimon potes esrogim bekotan. He potters them when they are very small. So you see that he holds that when they're very small, they're not a food and they're not chayiv, I think, in Maestros.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Amar le'abaya dil malohi. That's not necessarily a good comparison. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Akiva ha'chad be'inan hadar v'leka. Amal hasam k'rabanan sfirilei. No, Rabbi Akiva really holds that boser is a pri. Why does he passel? He passels because it's not hadar. Inami ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shimon hasam el the siv aser taser eis kol tuvasarecha k'derech shemenei adam otzin lezria. Amal hacha k'rabanan sfirilei. Vitulomidi. That could be a gzeres akasev. It's not that it's not a pri. It is a pri, but people don't typically do not pluck the fruit until it ripens fully, and therefore, by esrogim at least, they normally do not do that, and therefore an esrog, which is bekutnam, is not chayiv in maestros. Okay. And then the Gemara says...
The mission also gives a minimum shear.
Yes, I mean, but that, like that's not a stage. That's not a stage. In other words, it could be... Well, right. It's true. According to Rashi, I guess it's a good question. In other words, if the Mishnah is machshir when it's a boser, according to one shita, is that the Mishnah?
No. The Mishnah gives...
right, the bigger shirim. So that's an interesting question. Why the esrog haboser... there's a Tosus earlier in the parak. Tosus disagrees with Rashi. Now you're suggesting that esrog haboser make much more sense that it's not a size, but just a stage.
Yeah.
Right, and if it's otherwise, it should be part of that machlokas. Okay. And the Gemara concludes by saying, betulo midi. End of discussion. Okay. So I'm going to read, just go to the two dots. Gidlo betfus va'asel kimin beri acheres pasol. Amar Rava lo shenu ela kimin beri acheres, aval kibriyaso kosher. If you make it like an esrog, but you know, it still looks like an esrog, it's kosher. Pshita kimin beri acheres tan. That's what's pasol. Not if it's kimin esrogs. Lo tzricha davida dape dape. It's, I don't know, that Rashi writes, kegon crush him, crush him. I don't know exactly what that means, but it looks like it's like an esrog, but instead of being round, you know, his esrog is not sort of round in one direction. One direction is kind of an oval. But around the esrog, if you put it, you know, standing up, you can make circles around. So let's say, instead of having circles, you have something that would, you know, instead of being this, it would be kind of wavy or something like that. Yeah. Imagine, like, you know, the sun, the little suns that they draw with little things, you know, little loops going around it. That's what I assume dapi dapi means. If you build the thing like that, so it still looks like an esrog, but it's with frills. A frills esrog as opposed to a no frills esrog. All right. So, itmar esrog shenikvu achbarim. If the mice made a hole in it, amar rav ein ze hadar. That's not considered hadar, which is kind of interesting because it's chaser. That's what I would have said. The Gemara says the v'havra chanina matbu ba v'nafik ba. Rabbi Chanina would dip his esrog in the dip and then he would eat it, meaning after the first day. So you see that just missing a part still has hadar. It sounds like you need hadar even on the other days of Yom Tov. Right? Yavesh is pasul all of Yom Tov, right? Because you need hadar. Chaser is okay in many cases, but not something which is not muhudar. So the Gemara says, ul rachanina kasha mas nisan, right? Which says that a chaser is no good. So bishlama mas nisan rabbi chanina lo kasha kan mi Yom Tov Rishon kan mi Yom Tov Sheni. Chaser is only psul on Yom Tov Rishon. Ela l'rav kasha. How can he say it's not hadar if Rav Chanina did that? So amal charav shani achbarim demeisi. No, there's a difference between esrog being chaser because a piece got cut out of it and if mice ate a piece of it. That's disgusting. Okay, ikadami amarav ze hadar. He said it is hadar. Har b'chanina matbo b'vnafik ba. Ula b'chanina kasha masnisan lo kasha kan miyom to rishon kan miyom tov sheni. All right. And I'm going to skip for a moment just to do the last three lines. I want to come back to Havana Mekursalos next week because there's an important tosfos and it's an important topic about Kavod HaBrios. Some of you may know I've talked about this topic a little bit or used to talk about this topic. Kavod HaBrios is a good thing. Tanya Amar Biose Maseb Rabbi Kiva Shebal Beis HaKnesses Vesrog Wal Ksefo. He had an esrog on his shoulders. Okay, he couldn't carry it in two hands, so he had to carry it on his shoulders, which is, by the way, the best place to carry stuff generally is on your head or your shoulders because it's above your center of gravity. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda Misham Raya. That's no Raya. Amar Afheim Amar lo Ein Zehadar. So it's at least the second time in our Masechta we have a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim based upon a story, what actually happened in the story. First Heleni Hamalka and then Rabbi Akiva. Okay.